Shavua Tov, everybody. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. All of you in tape land who want the tapes to keep coming and the CDs that you're listening to keep coming, please dial in Brooklyn 375-1023. 375-1023. And tell them you want to dedicate a tape. And if you don't like my tapes, dedicate Rabbi Eli's tape. If you don't like that tape, dedicate Rabbi Sutton's tape. If you don't like that tape, he's got plenty of tapes, big selection. But we should support the free tape program in the community. It goes all over the world. I was telling, I got an email from Turkey on Thursday. I was telling my good friend, Mr. Bill DeRicci here. We're trying to figure out who the person is. He got a hold of some tapes. It's changing his life, but he needs more. He's living out there in Galut, and he needs. So we're going to get his address from him. We're going to send him boxes. But everybody has to support the plan. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. He sent Malachim Mamash. He sent real angels. Lefanav er Esav Achiv. To Esav, who was his brother. Arsa Seir Sede Edom. You might ask, if a person uses up his zechut, if a person uses up some credits by using the supernatural or by having a miracle happen in the place of what would normally happen, why would Yaakov send Malachim? Malachim Mamash means real Malachim, real angels. As we know, Yaakov Avinu, zechuyot of his Torah and his mitzvot, created Malachim who traveled with him. So why would he send real ones? Let him send a few messengers. Pick some of the stronger people, some of the more righteous people. Let them go take the message. Hey Esav, I'm coming back. Please forgive me. I didn't want to steal the berachot. Don't kill me. Here's a present. He sends Malachim Mamash. Why Malachim Mamash? Because he was sending them to Esav, Arsa Seir, Sede Edom. He was sending them to a Rasha called Esav. And not only that, he was sending them to his turf, his territory. Arsa Seir, Sede Edom, Las Vegas. He can't send real people to hang out with bad people in a bad place. They may get spoiled. So he sent Malachim, Mamash. Worth it to take from my zichuyot. Worth it to take from my credits. And send Malachim, Mamash. Real angels. Use the supernatural. Even if it costs me some olam haba, rather than risk some innocent people. Vaitzav otam lemon. He commands them. Ko tomerun ladoni, to my master, le'esav. Ko amar abdecha, so says your servant, Yaakov. Im lavangarti va'ehar al'ata. I sojourned, I like that English word, I lived, I dwelt with Laban, and I was delayed until now. Vahili shor vahamor son the elder of Shifha vahish lecha ladoninim sochen b'enecha. And I was able to acquire oxen and donkeys and sheep and male slaves and female slaves, and I'm sending you gifts in order to appease you. Yaakov Avinu alav shalom set the tone for all dealings with Goyim, for all the future dealings of Yehudim. Ma'aseh avot siman labanim. What the patriarchs did is a portent for the future. And it's said of our sages that when Rome was ruling the world, including the Holy Land, and the Jewish people had to send messengers, some of the rabbis, to negotiate with them about bad decrees, about high taxes, about other situations. When they chose the messenger, they would sit down in the kollel with him, and he would study Parashat Vayishlach. You're going to see Edom. You have to see the nuances of the behavior of Yaakov Avinu and learn from him. how to deal with the goyim. You have to know how to do it. Ma'ase avot siman labanim. So he tells him, I'm going to take a three-prong approach. He doesn't tell him, but this is what he does. The first is prayer. The second is politics. Got it? And the third, fight. Strategy. The prayer, Hasilenina, Hashem, save me. Miyad Ahi, Miyad Esav. Save me from my brother, from Esav. Of course, there's no extra words in the Torah, just a little aside, not tonight's subject, but why does it say Ahi Esav? If you say my brother, he only had one brother. If you say Esav, we know who it is. So why say Ahi Esav? Hatzileni na miyad achi. Sometimes he comes like a brother. He puts his arm around me. He's very American. He's very friendly. He's very tolerant. He lets me do what I want. He gives me. He treats me fair. He says, Sav. Sometimes he comes with persecution and with war. Not like my brother, like an enemy, like Esav. But Hashem, however he comes, you have to save me. You have to save me from his honey, and you have to save me from his sting. I can't afford either, because both are very dangerous to the Jew. That's his prayer. His bribe. Sure, a whore, I'm sending you all these things, and he split it up, and he sent it in waves. He didn't send one. You know, I was telling the boys this morning, there's people this time of year, they love to send to all their buyers fruit basket, present, cards. I said, there's a guy who sends, he doesn't know, he doesn't want to look like everybody else. So there's a $200 one, there's a $300 one, there's a $500. They send a big one. But so long as it's in the office, and I've been there, you travel in December, you go to the buyer's office, you see all the stuff there from all the other companies, you start reading the cards, you see every competitor sending what you're sending. This one's nice, this one's not nice, big deal. But the smart one is the one who sends the monthly. Fruit of the month, plant of the month, flower of the month. Now in March and April, June, July, August and September, when nobody's sending, the buyer gets another present from you. Of course the same, but it comes in doses. And they're impressed. Look, every month thinks of me. You didn't think of it, you ordered in December and it comes. But they remind it every month. So Yaakov Avinu said, if I send them 1,000 ox, if I send them 110 times, it's much better. So he sent the gift in pieces, in bits and pieces. So that's his gift, his bribe. What's his strategy? His strategy is to split the camp. Vayira Yaakov me'od, vayeser lo. He was worried perhaps he'd be killed. And he was concerned he might have to kill. Either one is not good. Vayahatz et ha'am asher ito. He divides the arm that's with him. He splits everything up into two camps. One camp will contain him, and one camp will be other people. Mayomer, and here's his strategy. If he comes to the first machane, vehikahu, and he destroys it, the second one will escape. And this is also Ma'ase Avot Siman Labanim. Haramban over here tells us that we see in history Shelo Yigziru Aleinu Bnei Esav Mechot Et Shemenu. They'll never be able to wipe us out. Ava Ya'asu Ra'ot Im Kitzatenu. It might be Russia. It might be Germany. it might be anywhere on the planet that they attack the Jews. Melech ahad mehem gozer ba'atso al mamonenu al gufenu. They'll either attack our wealth or they'll attack our bodies, lo alenu. Chas v'shalom. Umelech acher merachem b'mkomo u'matzil apeletim. In another place, they're accepting the refugees. So wherever the Jews are, if they get machane achat, v'haya machane anishar lifleta. Haramban, 1,000 years ago, is writing, this is how it works from the times of the strategy of Yaakov. That there'll never be all the Jews in one place except in the time of Haman. And from there too we escape through Nes. But in all other places also, we will find that we're never in one place where one king could be gozer and wipe us out. That was his strategy. By the way, the question is brought. He doesn't say, maybe they'll escape. He says they will be saved. Definitely. How did he know? Maybe Esav will come on two fronts. Maybe Esav travels much faster than us. He'll catch the first one, he'll catch the second one. Maybe he'll destroy both camps. The Chida Zecher Tzadik Levracha writes, Nachal Kadmonim, he writes, Yaakov Avinu remembered the words of his mother. She said, why is it I can't stand the fact that Esav wants to kill Yaakov? How can a mother bear that the two sons die on the same day? I can't stand that thought. Lama Ishkal, why should I be in mourning for two sons on the same day? They said, she said that Beruah HaKodesh, that Esav and Yaakov will be buried on the same day. And as it happened, as you know, the Midrash tells us, when Yaakov Avinu Alav HaShalom was brought back to be buried in Eretz Canaan by his children, the people of Esav came and they tried to block the entrance to Maharat HaMachpelah. They said, we deserve it. They said, no, we deserve it. You have a deed. Yes, we have a deed. Where's the deed? The whole thing. Hoshim ben Dan, who was deaf, didn't understand what's going on. They told him he's trying to stop us from burying our father. Took out a sword, chopped off Esav's head. Esav's head rolled into Maharat HaMachpelah. They were both buried on the same day. So it came true. Yaakov Avinu also knew this. He separated his camp, says the Midrash, by a journey of more than one day. He put one a day's travel away from the other. He says, if he comes to Machaneh Ha'ahat, the one that has me, the main guy, Ahat meaning the special one, the premier, the fine one, me, the one, if Esav comes to Machaneh Ha'ahat V'hikau, and he kills Lo Aleinu, him, Yaakov, HaMachaneh Nishar Yeh Lifleta. You know why? Because more than a day. And he has to die on the day I die. So that was his plan. And then comes the most famous Rashi in the Torah, maybe. He says, in Lavan Garti, I sojourned with our friend Laban, our uncle. Garti b'gematria tariag. Garti is the letters that add up to 613. Kilomar, im Lavan arasha, garti. With Lavan, the wicked one, I lived. B'tariag, the 613, the same numerical value. Mitzvot, shamarti. Ve'lo lamati ma'asav harayim. And I didn't learn from his evil ways. You have to ask yourself, first of all, if he kept Tariag Mitzvot, if he kept 613 Mitzvot, so he didn't learn from his evil ways. If he didn't keep the Mitzvot, it's because he learned from the evil ways. So what is he telling him like that? Ve'lo lamati ma'asav harasha. Not only that, what does Esav care? I'm going to kill you today. Do I care you kept Mitzvot yesterday? It doesn't bother me. One approach is to say that in the blessings, when Yitzchak Avinu Alav Hashem gave the blessings, he gave it conditionally. When Esav said, HaBaracha Achat, there's only one blessing, Daddy. He says, well, the other one came and took your blessing. He says, well, there must be something else. He says, yeah, but I can only give it to you on condition. He said, you know, I'll give you a beracha. And he reads as follows. Mishmaneh ha'aretz yeh moshavecha. V'tal ha'shamayim mi'al. V'acharbecha tehyeh. V'tachicha ta'abod. You, Esav, will serve Yaakov. But, when the Jews don't keep the Torah, then you'll have cause tarid for sa'ar. He says, tarid means sa'ar. Then you'll have cause to say, he took the berachot, and he's not keeping the Torah. Ufarakta ulo, you'll be able to attack him and harm him. So the power of Esav over Am Yisrael depends on Yisrael's Shemirat HaMitzvot. If Yisrael keeps the mitzvot, they're in charge. But if they don't, it's going to cause pain and suffering to the psyche of Esav. Esav's going to say, he took the berachot, I thought he's going to be good. Now he's no good and he has the berachot. That Tsar is going to give him the power to break the yoke of Am Yisrael over him and to subjugate the Jews to affliction and punishment. So Yaakov is telling Esav, you're coming to kill me? You forgot one thing. Taryag mitzvot shamarti v'lo lamati ma'asav ara'im. I kept the mitzvot. You and 100 like you can't harm me if I keep the mitzvot. If you remember the beracha you got, you only have power if I don't keep the mitzvot, chas v'shalom. But taryag mitzvot shamati v'ulamati v'sav raim. That's beautiful. That's almost like he's challenging him. But it doesn't seem, the difficulty with this is, it doesn't seem like Yaakov Avinu's approach is brazen. He's bowing down, he's calling him Adoni, my master. He bowed down 7 times. 7 times he bowed down. Each one caused a sar in the future because Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, whatever he did was important to us. But the fact of the matter is, this perush, although valid and true, Shivim Panim LaTorah, leaves us with a difficulty. If he's really trying to appease him, why is he challenging him? Hey, you think you could do something to me, buddy? I kept the mitzvot. Right? Doesn't sound like it. So the Chafetz Chaim took another approach. The Chafetz Chaim says, I didn't learn from the zirizut of Laban. I didn't learn from Laban's excitement when he did bad. Bad people do bad things with gusto. When Laban saw what they say, a sucker is born every minute, is that what it says? When he saw one coming, he started, the proverbial essay, he started foaming at the mouth. Smacks his hands together. Here comes another yo-yo. I can't wait. That's how excited he got. And he didn't care if it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 2 in the morning, 5 in the morning. And when he was scheming, how am I going to switch Le'ah for Rachel? Believe me, he was up nights. He wasn't tired. He wasn't tired at all. It wasn't like the rabbi in the Gemara. You know the story of the rabbi in the Gemara. All you guys are regulars here. You should know the story of the rabbi in the Gemara. The rabbi got a new shas, a present. They gave him a Gemara. He comes to the shelf one night, and he sees Masechet Kiddushin is missing. My Masechet's missing. He calls his wife. He tells her, Rabbitzin, where's Rabbanit? Where's my Masechet Kiddushin? What do you mean? It's missing. No, you probably took it to the library. You probably took it upstairs. You probably took it to the porch. He looks all over, can't find it. He tells the Misharete, the Hadame, she stole it. The Rabbani tells the Rabbi, Rabbi, Chiruf, inte? You got too old. The Meshuga, Hadame stole the Shas? What is a Hadame going to do with it? She'll steal a ring. She'll steal money. She's not going to steal a Masechet Kiddushin. He says, call her. I told you to fire her a million times. I don't like her. Bring her. They bring in the Hadame, the maid. She comes in, they said, did you steal the rabbi Shas? You're expecting her to deny it, right? She falls down, she starts grabbing the rabbanit's dress. Ah, senora, senora, please don't fire me. You took the rabbi Shas? So the rabbanit looks and says, but I don't understand. With all the valuables in the house, we have crystal, we have silver, we have money. What'd you take the Shas for? I needed it, you have to understand, I needed it for my husband. Your husband? Your Mexican husband? You need a Masechet Kiddushin? For what? He's, well, my husband has a problem. He can't sleep. And every night I see the rabbi, he takes his book out, he puts it on his chest, and he falls asleep. I needed the shots for my husband to sleep. But when it comes to a party, when it comes, the Ben Ish Chai and his Dirashot on this parasha, he tells a story of a ceasefire. Everybody wants ceasefire, Be'eretz HaKodesh. We want to see peace. B'merabi Amenu Amen. But we need Mashiach. We don't need Likud. We don't need Lev. We need Mashiach. We don't need those people. My little daughter, last night we were discussing at the table, she came with a great suggestion. She said, Daddy, I don't understand. The security cabinet always meets. Every time there's an incident, security cabinet meets, they make a new plan. Why don't the religious people go to the meeting with the security cabinet and tell Mofaz and Sharon and all the people that are there, you want to have peace? Don't build a fence. This is a little girl telling me. Don't build a fence. Why don't you make a minyan, you all put on tefillin, then you'll have peace. She knows what they need over there. But forgetting that, we don't have politics too much on the tapes. They listen to this after Mashiach comes. They'll say, what are we wasting our time talking about it? The Ben Ish Chai brings beautiful mashal. He said, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov met, and they decided to have a ceasefire. What's the ceasefire? We don't want to fight. So I'm going to give you my list of clients, and you give me your list of clients to show a sign of faith. So the Yetzer HaTov takes all the Yetzer HaRa's people, and the Yetzer HaRa takes all the Yetzer HaTov's people, and they switch lists. The Yetzer HaRa looks at the list. The top of the list, he sees a Hasid, Sadiq, Matmid. See, you know something? Ceasefire, no ceasefire. This is a big fish. If I could get this guy. So he goes to the man's house. And he sees the man sitting in his study, Shulchan Aruch, Tur, Rishonim, Aharonim, Shelot Shuvot, he's Me'ayin HaHalacha, he wants to come up with an answer to a She'ela. Studying, studying. He says, boy, this guy Matmid, I never saw such a guy. Look how simple he lives, no gas, no moldings, no nothing. He makes the room hot. Gets stuffy, the man loosens his tie. Without looking up from the sifarim, automatic, he loosens his tie. He rolls up his sleeves, stuffy in the room. He calls out to the rabbanit, Sarah, Sarah, Salha. I don't know what he called her. He tells her, bring me some iced tea. She gets the ice, the water. It takes 2-3 minutes. Salha, where's the iced tea? She comes with the iced tea. But Acha fast, he drinks it. He goes back to the Sifarim. Can't win. It's just too hot. So the Ben Ish Chai says, for the first time at night in many years, the man decides to walk around the block. Get some air. He goes outside, he walks around the block. He sees this place he never knew was there. Lo be'olamo, zeh lo be'olamo, me'olam acher. He sees people sitting, they're drinking beer. They're playing shesh besh. They're screaming. They're waving their arms. Ah, gala! My dad's hitting him. Ah, I hit you. Bah, 6-5, 5-3. Aye, 1-2. Ah, I can't believe it. You hit me. There's waitresses, waiters bringing drinks. They're not even looking at the drinks. They're so excited from the game. The man looked, he couldn't believe his eyes, he went home. He got back to Sefarim. Instead of learning, he sat down on the floor like Tikkun Hasot. He put ashes on his head and he started crying. Ribono she'olam, chatati, amiti, pashati. Chashavti she'ani matmid, ani chasid, ani kacha v'kacha. Aval ra'iti hazrizut v'achom v'aomet she'elo she'mishachakim she'esh besh. I saw them how they play she'esh besh. They bring the drink, they don't even know the drink is there. Me, a little thirst stops me from learning. I have to get better. Please forgive me for falling short. The Yetzirah, now he sat down on the floor, Chatati, Aviti, Pashati, who did I pick on? The next day he found the Yetzirah, he told him, listen, deal's off. I tried to get this Hasid, I made him make more teshuvah. You could have your customers, give me mine back, this is war. What's the point the Ben Ish Chai wants to make? What is the Hafez Chaim saying? What is the whole Avan Garti, Velo Lamati Ma'asav Araim? Yaakov Avinu tells, and this answers our question, is this a threat or an appeasement? Look how he appeased them. He told Esav, I know you see Shor, Bachamor, Son, the Elv Shivcha. I know you see all of that. And all that you see here, you think is from your Olam. And you think I got it working hard, and I must have become through my mitzvot, and this and that. But I want to tell you something, you're right. Im Lavan Garti. But don't worry. I want to appease you. Don't think I'm invincible. I didn't yet reach the level where the zirizut and the power of my mitzvot doing is like him. I fall asleep on the book. I try my best. But I'm missing a little bit of the zirizut. To get up and go, that Laban has to do Ra. And therefore he appeased him, telling him, you are the one that has power over me, please forgive me. The Berachot you see here, the Berachot, I didn't steal everything. I didn't reach my level yet. Now, you know, on Hanukkah we say Al HaNisim. And on Al HaNisim there's a breakdown of who fought who and what the miracle is. It says, you put Giborim Biyat Halashim. Lishaim Biyat Sadiki. Right? And you put Rabbim Biyat Me'atim. Lishaim Biyat Osesonech. The question is, if you tell me strong in hands of the weak, miracle. If you tell me many in the hands of the few, miracle. But when you tell me the Shaim Biyad Sadiqim, maybe the Sadiqim were better fighters. Who says that's a miracle? Maybe they could fight better. Maybe they had better strategy. They were smarter. They played. Maybe they had better weapons. Why is that, on the face of it, a ness? Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, Rosh Yeshivat, Mir Yeshiva here in Brooklyn, Shalita, he answers as follows. The Sha'im, when they do their wickedness, do it with more desire, more energy, and more enthusiasm than a Sadiq could do the mitzvot. That's the way it is. And the Greeks who were fighting the Yehudim were evil. They were the Sha'im. And we have to assume that even if we were stronger and better, the way they fought to bring their evil, we could have lost. It was a miracle that the Sadiqim were able to outfight the Rishayim. It was a miracle that they were given over to us. And that's what he means when he says, In Lavan Garti, Tayag Mitzvot Shamarti, Lo Lamati, his energy and enthusiasm. Enough for that tonight. There's other perushim on that, but let's go further. There is a uh, scene that takes place, the battle between Yaakov Avinu Alav HaShalom and Saro Shel Esav, the guardian angel of Esav. Now, all the nations have a guardian angel, but Esav has a unique guardian angel. His guardian angel is the Satan. And the scene is described in very few words. It raises questions. But again, since Maaseh Avot Siman Nabanim, since we have so much to learn that applies to us, let's take a few minutes tonight to look at it. Vayivater Yaakov lebado. Yaakov was left by himself. Vayavek ish emmo. A man came, and from the word avak, dust, they kicked up the dust. They wrestled. Ad alot ha-shachar, until dawn. Vayar ki lo yachol elo. This enemy of Yaakov, the other combatant, saw that he can't beat him fighting one-on-one. Vayigat bekaf yerecho. So he hits him on the hip. He injured his hip. Vateqa kaf yerech Yaakov behaveko emo. And his hip was injured during the battle. Says the angel to Yaakov, "Vayomer shalecheni ki ala hashachar, send me in peace because it's dawn." And it's amazing. Separate class. We won't discuss it tonight. But I have a question here. He said, "Tzarich ani lomar shira bayom. I have to say shira. I have to say it's every day. One angel leads the choir in heaven. Gets a solo." Today is my day to be Hazan, as the Hazan walks in. Today, he says, is my day to be Hazan in Shamayim, you have to let me go. That's a Gemara in Chulin. I asked myself, to Satan, leading this choir, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in Shamayim? How could that be? Well, when you understand that the Midrash is my own answer, I hope it's valid because it'll be taped le'olam ba'ed here. I usually check with the rabbi before, but he didn't come this afternoon. Yachol liyot. I'll put it on a perhaps. Perhaps the peshat of that is, the Midrash says in Bereshit, Tov me'od on the sixth day. When everything was complete, it always says, Vayarim ki tov, Vayarim ki tov. It says, Vayichulohem ki tov me'od. Hashem sees. Says the Midrash, Tov, Ze Yetzera Tov. Tov Me'od, Ze Yetzera Ra. Very strange Midrash, Midrash Piliah. Very strange. Good is the Yetzera Tov. Excellent is the Yetzera Ra. Why? Because the purpose of the Yetzera Ra is to tempt people, but even the Yetzera Ra wants to lose. Because his job is to be, bring people to their perfection, and help them earn the Olam Haba. So they have a chelek. What's the chelek going to be? Depends on how they deal with this malach. And this malach is a messenger from Hashem doing a job. That's his job. And if I do my job good, they get tested, like Avraham Avinu Alav HaShalom. And then you see, Ki Levavo Ne'eman Lefanecha, the Nisayon, the test, Nes lifts him on a banner, and raises Kitisa, the person who passes the test. So the Yetzara, like every other malach, like every other malach, has a job to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I guess if he's one of the soldiers of Hashem, he too has a day. Every one of the members of the team gets one day in Shamayim to lead the Shira, and this was his day. So he says, I have to go. I have to go. Lomar Shira Bayom. I have to say the Shira and it's Alot HaShachar. As soon as morning comes, we have to pray Vatikin. So Yaakov says, Lo Asheracha. I'm not sending you. Kim Berachtani. Not unless you bless me. Hello. We go travel to Eretz Yisrael. We go to Mikubal. We go to a rabbi, we go to Canada, we go to America, we go to Israel, we go wherever there's somebody, Morocco, wherever there's a Sadiq, we'll travel to get a beracha. Ya'akob Avinu Alav Hashalom wants a blessing from the Satan? You didn't think of that one. I see from your face, you didn't think of that one. Tell you bless me, I'm not letting you go. Is that a blessing from the Satan? That's a beautiful answer. He says, when a person gets a blessing from a Sadiq or from a friend, the Mekatregim come, the people who work for the Satan, all the little prosecutors, they come and say, this Biracha should not be hal. We can't let it be. You know why? This guy last Shabbat, you know what he did? He took the thing off the fire, he put it back on the fire. Was like, you know, he once said something, he lost his temper. They try and find something to make him not worthy of the Biracha. But if the godfather, you know, you take a mafioso, they get together, let's do bed, you know, hey, buddy, you want to go do this? Yeah, let's go. They start doing it, right? So now, one might disagree with the other, there might be some guy, but that's in the lower echelons. But if the godfather says, they got to do it. So Yaakov Avinu said, you know, of all the birachot I could get, I have the Satan himself here. I'm not going to let him go. Keep birachtani till you bless me. Because then there's no meketregim. There's nobody coming to... If the boss says, they're all going to listen. So, we get past that point. So the angel tells him, what's your name? Vayomer Yaakov. Tells him, my name is Yaakov. Vayomer lo Yaakov yamar ot shimcha. There's a funny story about the Malbim. Malbim lived in the 1800s. Very, very sharp. Tamid Chacham wrote a beautiful perush on all of Tanakh, including the Torah. Very good, with words. Many, many beautiful perushim he wrote. Big Tamid Chacham. Some guy came to the Malbim. He wrote a book, and he wants a haskama. He wants a letter to put in the front of the book that this is a good book. Good sefer. The guy sitting across the desk from the table, where the rabbi is reading it, This is a book not worth the paper it's written on. It's an empty book. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't add anything. It's not it. He looks at it. Mabashi, what am I going to do now? What am I going to tell this guy? And the guy's sitting right there, so he keeps tearing the pages. He tells him, what's your name? He tells him, Yaakov. He said, well, what'd you name your book? He says, Vayomer Yaakov. He says, excellent choice, because you know, a person is supposed to put their name. If your name is Rachamim, you name it Divrei Rachamim, you know, if your name is, you put the name in. So he said, oh, Vayomer Yaakov. So the Mabim tells him, you know, your book is good because it follows the Pasuk in the Torah. He tells him, what Pasuk? He says, well, you look at it, it says, Vayomer Elam HaShemecha, Vayomer Yaakov. Really, he answered him, my name is Yaakov. So it says, Vayomer Yaakov, but didn't say he said anything. You didn't say anything either. Just like the Pasuk, you didn't say. Vayomer Yaakov doesn't say what he said. So Yaakov says, my name is Yaakov. So he says, Vayomer, lo Yaakov yamayer ot shimcha. Your name will no longer be called Yaakov, ki im Yisrael. I'm changing your name to Yisrael. Ki saritem Elohim im anashim, batuchal. You battled gods, and you battled people, and you won. And then Yaakov asks a very important question. Vayish'al Yaakov vayomer. Yaakov says, Hagida na shemecha. What's your name? Vayomer, lama ze tish'al lishmi? Why are you asking my name? Vayibarech oto sham. And he blessed him. What's going on here? Vayikra Yaakov shem akum pini ekrit en imparim panim batin asaf shi. What's this name game that they're playing? He asks him his name. He asks him his name. Well, the angel's going to bless him. The angel wants to bless the person in front of him. So he tells him, what's your name? Yaakov. Yaakov comes from Ekev, from the heel of the foot, Akeb. It comes from something lowly on the bottom. And he says, no, I'm changing your name from Yaakov to Israel. You are no longer the heel of the foot. Sarita melokim v'madam batuchal. You fought with angels and you won. I'm raising you to a new level. And as we know in the rest of the Torah, whenever it says Yisrael, it's the high name. When it says Yaakov, it's the low name. What does Yaakov want to know the angel's name for? The Or Yahel says,
Rabbi Hasman Zecher Tzadik Lebracha,
the name of a person, the name of a creature in Lashon HaKodesh expresses the essence of the person. It's not just Clint or Rock or Elvis, these crazy names that the Goyim think of. Shimuel means something. Shimuel means something. And somebody named Shimuel is his essence. Rahamim means something. Rahamim is the name, it's the essence. In fact, there's a story, Rabbi Meir and other Tanaim were traveling, and they came to an inn, and Shabbat came, and there's no safety deposit boxes, and they had valuables with them, and they went to the innkeeper, and they told him, we'd like to put away our valuables. Could you hold them for us till after Shabbat when we leave? He said, sure. And the first two Tanaim handed over their valuables, and Rabbi Meir held back. Rabbi Meir says, what's your name? He tells him, my name is Kidor. What are you guys? He says, I have nothing. They left. The story goes, it's not for tonight's class, but of course the guy was a thief, he denied he had it. They were able to find out how through a dream, and that was a very interesting story how they got it back. At the end of the day, they got everything back. But they asked Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, how did you know not to give this guy the money? How come you didn't trust him? The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Badik Shema Hava. He used to check people's names out before he dealt with them. He says, the man's name was Kidor. And the Pasuk says, Kidor Tapuchot Hema. They're an upside down, dishonest generation. You can't trust them. Lo Emun Bam. You can't trust them. His name is Kidor. You can't trust him. Wow, Badik Shemir. Why? Because the name is the essence of the person. So, Yaakov Avinu Alav HaShalom realizes, I'm fighting with the Yetzer Hara. He tells the Yetzer Hara, Ma Shemecha, what is your essence? What's the stuff you're made of? What are you all about? The Yetzer Hara didn't answer. He didn't answer. Why not? Why didn't he answer? He didn't answer because that was the answer. The answer is, the Yetzer Hara has no essence. The Yetzer Hara has no substance. The Yetzer Hara is imaginary. It's an image a person creates when that image is consumed by desire. But in reality, there's no separate creature called the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is the person himself. And the Or Yahel says, sometimes a person, anybody this didn't happen to in their lifetime, you can raise your hand now, but every time I tell this, people don't raise their hands, because it happens to everybody. Sometimes you're sleeping in a room, and you wake up, and you get frightened that you see another person in the room standing by the bed or approaching you. You flick on the light switch quickly, and you find out it's only your pants on the chair. You thought in the dark it was a person. You imagined you were being attacked. You imagined there was an intruder. That's because it was dark. That's your imagination. But if you turn on the light, you find out it's only a pair of pants on a chair. Nothing to be afraid of. That's the Yetzer Hara. So when he asked him, what's your name? He can't answer. He told him, what's your name? I'm you. If your name's Yaakov, my name is Yaakov. Your name is Yitzhak, I'm Yitzhak. If your name is Moshe, I'm Moshe. Because I'm you. There is no me. That's the first answer. I saw another answer. Meshem Arav Chaim Dov Keller, who's a Rosh Yeshiva in Tel Chicago. He says Yaakov was interested. He knew the principle Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim. He knew that. He knew it very well. And he said to himself, you know, maybe if I could figure out the essence of this Yetzer Hara, if I could figure out what makes him tick, I can give some advice to my children for future generations to be successful in their battle with the Yetzer Hara. So the angel answers him, Lama tish'al shmi? Why are you asking my name? It's not going to help. You know why? I change. My name today is not my name in 200 years. And my name in 200 years is not my name in 400 years. And my name in Morocco is not my name in Australia. And my name in Las Vegas is not my name in London. You see, my name changes, my disguise changes, my techniques change, and my tactics change with the Yetzara of the people. You know, there was a story in the Gemara where Rav Asher was Doresh about Menasheh the king. And Menasheh was one of the bad kings of Israel. And Menasheh brought Avodah Zarah to the people, idol worship. And eventually it led to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash HaRishon. And Rav Asher was talking about the bad king called Menasheh. Menasheh came to him in a dream. He says, our friend Menasheh. Menasheh came to him in a dream. He says, you calling me, you're belittling me the way you talk about me? That's because you don't understand the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. If you lived in the time I lived, the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah was so great, you would have pulled up your robes and you would have beat me in a race to the Avodah Zarah. Rav Asher lived in a different time. Couldn't understand it. We laugh. Idol worship. There's people in India today, they're bowing down to statues. You go to Bangkok, you see people bowing down to temples, to statues. And not that it represents something. They think that's their Elohim. Elohim, for them it's Elohim. You know, it's not Tzchol, I could say the word. They think it's their God. Avodah Zarah, we laugh at them. We don't understand in this generation, what is that Yetzirah? You read about the time called Haskalah. Haskalah was in the 1800s, when the intelligentsia of Europe started the conservative reform movement. When they started philosophizing about Torah and Mitzvot, when they started justifying the changes they wanted to make based on a philosophy, enlightenment, the old Jew from the ghetto, we're not like him. We dress with a tie and jacket, not with a shtreimel and a tzitzit. We don't have a beard, we shave. We don't cover our head. We don't have to. It was a Yetzirah, maybe we can't understand. Because we weren't there. But at that time, the ta'ava was to be part of the intelligentsia. To be part of the European elite. And that ta'ava gave rise to a different yetzara than we can understand today. In our own times, we have the yetzara of materialism. Of gashmiut. Duflus. Very good, Albert. Very good. Duflus. Money talks, nobody walks. Money is the answer. If I had more money, they would respect me. No. If I had more money, I'd give more tzedakah. If I had more money, I'd dedicate a yeshiva. But I need the money. The yetzara of money, of needing the material things. Not only that, it's become sophisticated. If I have money, not that I have to have things. I have to have the right things. The new and improved model. This year's style. Not last year's style. Last year's style, no good. Last year, the cars had different numbers. The car is basically the same. But if I want you to buy a new one, I can't call it 740 anymore. It has to be 745. I can't call it I-30 anymore. I-35. I can't call it LS-400. LS-430. So if I change the number, you need it. You have to have it. Because they may walk by your driveway and see the wrong number on the car. Oh, chas v'shalom, what a dib, he doesn't have the right number. The wrong number on the car. The new and improved. Sometimes you see somebody walking, they're wearing this designer, Hazita. She doesn't know we don't buy that anymore, we buy this designer. You go to a party, which caterer? That caterer. Oh, we don't use him anymore. We use the other caterer. Doesn't she know? Kipflus, she spent all that money on the wrong caterer. That's the Yetzirah today. To have the money, to spend the money, and to be in and sharp and right on with how we do it. The Yetzirah was created by what? By our desire. That's the desire of this generation and this country. That's the desire. That's the Yetzirah. So when the angel asked Yaakov Avinu Alav HaShalom, Mashemech, he tells him, what's your name? He says, I can't tell you my name. You want to use it to protect your children. You want to give them advice. I don't know my name. He didn't answer. Because I don't know what they're going to create. They're going to be the ones to determine how I behave. I'm going to disguise myself according to their ta'ava. According to their ta'ava, that's what I become. I'll put on a costume of the ta'ava of the generation. And that's why he said, I can't answer you. And he did not. You know, it has a lot to do with the philosophy of Esav and Yaakov. When they finally meet, Esav tells him, "Mi lecha kol ha'machaneh hazeh asher pagashti." This gifts and gifts that you sent. First, they tell him, "Where'd you get them?" I thought we made a deal. Olam hazeh is mine. Olam haba is yours. Where'd you get all this money? Did you steal it from me? I wanted to find favor in your eyes, so I sent it to you. I got plenty, buddy. You're not impressing me. He tells him, my brother, whatever is yours, you can keep. If I find favor in your eyes, please take it. I have everything. That's the difference between the philosophy of a Yehudi and the philosophy of a Goy. A goy could say, I have a lot, but I always need more. In Midrash Kohelet it says, En adam yotzei me'olam, chatzi ta'avato biyado. He doesn't leave this world with half of what he wants. And if you have $1 million, you want two. If you want two, you want five. If you have five, you need ten. Yaakov Avinu tells Esav, I have everything. I have all that I need. I don't have everything in the world. I don't have the best of everything. But I have lechem le'echol u'beged l'lbosh. When he asked Hashem for that, what was he telling Hashem? Lechem u'beged. What does that mean? Lechem le'echol u'beged l'lbosh. Give me lechem and give me the health to eat it. Give me clothing. Let me wear it. I know what the purpose of these things is. Let me use them the right way. Don't give me so I could abuse the gift. Give me lechem, lechol, beged, wash the necessities, and let me understand what they mean. I was talking to a young crowd the other night. We talked about $10,000 and $15,000 and $20,000 watches. It's not a surprise. A lot of people have it. It's very common, Albert. You should know. You don't have one, but many, many, it's very common. Many women think, if I have a baby, I deserve it. I must have it, because everybody else gets it. And I said, you know, do you want one? So the young lady said, I have one. I said, why? You didn't have a watch before? She said, no, I did. I said, oh, it was broken. She said, no, it worked. I said, it told you the right time? She said, yeah. I said, so what did you need another one for? She said, but I wanted it. I said, but what for? If you understand that a watch is to tell you what time it is, and you have a watch that tells you the time, you don't need any other watch. But I needed it. It was the right name. It was the right style. My friend had one. I wanted one. Lo taturu achare nechem. I saw one. The difference between Yesh Li Rav and Yesh Li Rav. So beautiful, Mashal. Rabbi Eliyahu Lopian. Zeche Sadik Levracha. He says, in Birkat HaDoshe Hashem, Lo Yachsiru, Kol Tov. Those who seek out Hashem don't lack anything good. The Pasuk doesn't say those who seek out Hashem have everything. Only that they will not be missing anything. He gave an example. He said a guy went to visit his friend. His friend had a beautiful house and chandeliers and artwork and furniture, crystal and silver and gold all over the house, mansion. And when he was taking around the house, he took him to his bedroom and he opened up his deluxe medicine cabinet. And he said, look at all these medicines I have. I have this thing for my ulcer. I have this thing for my headache. I have this thing to sleep. I have this thing. I have so many medicines. Yesh li rav. The guy turned and says, Baruch Hashem, I don't need these medicines. Yesh li kol. Would you brag that you have a medicine cabinet full of aggravation? That's the philosophy of Esau. I have thousands of dollars worth of medicine. Is that to be proud of? He says, I have a medicine cabinet home and Bezor, I have aspirin or Advil. Who's happy? The one who says, Yesh li rav? Or the one who says, Yesh li kol? Doshe Hashem lo yachseru. Those that seek out Hashem are not missing anything. They understand what life is about and they're not missing anything. You know, it's interesting how this whole scene came about. Yaakov Avinu Alav HaShalom, as part of his plan, is ferrying his valuables and his family across the river. He gets everything to one side. Esav and his warriors are on the other side. And he realizes he forgot something. Says the Midrash, Vayivater Yaakov levado, shachach pachim kitanim. He forgot two little earthenware cups. Vechazar alehem. That's what Rashi says. Chazar alehem. If you look up the Gemara, he quotes, Chulin Sadi Aleph Amud Rishon, Masechet Chulin, page 91a in your art scroll, look it up, you'll see the story there. It says over there, Sadikim, Habivim lahem amonam, yoter migufam. Shocking statement. The Sadikim, their money is worth more to them than their life. And because of that, Yaakov Avinu Alav HaShalom risked his life to go back at night. And believe me, when he left Laban, He had millions and billions of dollars. He was in a class for his time of Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and all these people, Michael Dell, that you read about, these billionaires. He had it. And he went back for two jugs at night across the river in danger. And by Yirah Yaakov Mo'od Vayetzeh Lo, he's going back. That's bad enough. But then the Gemara's reason is shocking. Amar b'Elazar Sadikim Amonam Chavim Yotem Mikufam. He'll risk his life for it. The reason given in the Gemara is because they don't get involved in Gezel. A Sadiq, the shot of it is, tries to earn his money honestly. And earning money honestly is difficult. It's hard. If you don't play the games and the sketches of everybody. I once gave a class on business ethics here, and I was talking to the young men in the electronics business, and they told me, well, we have to do this. Is it allowed? No, you're not allowed. I have to do this. You're allowed? You're not allowed. I make a statement. You're not allowed. I open up Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed. They told me, might as well close. You can't stay in business, they told me. I said, you mean to tell me in your business there's not one person who advertises the product and delivers? There's not one person who does this? They tell me, here, there's one, B&H. I said, B&H, isn't that the guy here on the radio? I passed the store at night. Yeah, he's the biggest. I said, oh, you mean the honest guy? The one who's honest, closes Chol HaMoed, by the way, the whole week. I don't know what his rent is over there, but it's a huge store in Manhattan. He's the one that succeeds. And the ones who are all cheating and telling me I can't stay in business, I can't stay in business. I don't know, doesn't that tell you something? But I want to take it from a different approach. So Yaakov Avinu, that answer says, because he earned his money honestly, it's chaviv. It's very valuable to him. So much so, he wants to have it, so he goes and gets it. Another answer is, a tzaddik realizes, in fact, the guy did this to me the other day, I was telling him this pishat, he opens his wallet, if I give you a dollar, Morris, you put it in your pocket, tzedakah. If I give you a dollar, you can't get on the subway. The subway's going to be $2 now. You can't get on the subway with a dollar. You can't buy a cup of coffee in the city for a dollar. What do you do with a dollar? You put it in your pocket and it'll get mixed up with your money. But if you went to see a tzaddik, you went to see a mikuban, and he says, I'm giving you a special dollar for mazal, and the guy put his hand in his pocket. He took out a dollar that he got from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. He took it out. He said, look, I have the dollar in my pocket, autographed. I said, how come you don't spend it? It's from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I said, you know something? You should have framed it. If somebody gets something, even a coin or a bill that's not worth a lot of money from somebody chashuv, they get a frame, they put it on the wall in the house, and when somebody comes, why do you have that dollar? Oh, I went to see Rabbi Kaduri. He gave me a blessing. He gave me this dollar. Oh, that's a special dollar. That's not a dollar from the street. That's Rabbi Kaduri's dollar. Special dollar. Right? Yaakov Avinu says, all that I have comes, the Sadiqim say, all that I have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me a present, I should be mizazel by the present HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. Chavivim lehem amonam yotem migufam. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Rabbi Dor Miller, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, our good neighbor who we miss so much now. It's a little over a year since his passing. He comes from another angle. V'hinech orega v'rega minahayim. Every moment of life, hu efsharut yikara lishtamesh bibhira, it's a special opportunity to use your power of free will. Velachen tzarich adam lahakpid kepeda meruba. A person has to be very, very particular. Al kol rega, every moment. That he has to spend out of necessity for his physical needs. It's true a person has to work. It's true a person has to pay tuition. A person has to clothe themselves. A person has to have a house. Can you chase the kids away? I mean, it's true, he says, but a person should be makpid on every minute of this. Ki lasiga mamon tzirichim latet zeman. Why is it tzadikim habibim lahem mamonam yoter migufam? Because money requires time to earn it. Vazeman hu yakar yoter migufam. Many people say, time. Money is time. The Chafetz Chaim says, time is money. Gamotzi mamono li'ibud. Someone who frivolously wastes his mamon. Hare achar kach yitztarech lafsid et hachayim habechiriyim avur panasato. He's going to have to go out again and try to use more time to replace that object. Rav Hasta, when he used to walk through thorn bushes, would lift up his robes and cut his feet with the thorns and cut his legs with the thorns, very painful. And they asked him, it says in the Gemara, he's a rich man. Why would a rich man hurt himself and risk himself? Why would he do such a thing? He can buy another one. Because he knew what it takes to get the money to buy it. And once he acquired it, he didn't want to give up the Zman. Zman HaYakar, the moment that he has to devote to that. There's an interesting story about Rish Lakish in Gemara Gittin. There's a group of people, their name is the Luda'in, I believe. The Luda'in are cannibals. And they used to abduct people and subject them to all kinds of things. And in the early days when Rish Lakish was still tough gangster, they say he was. He was captured by the Luda'im and he bought his way out. And later on, the Gemara tells us, at the end of time, when Rish Lakish left this world, Shabak Kabah Demorika, he left over a basket that had in it some saffron. That's all he had. Kareh Anafsheh Ba'azibu La'harim Helam. He took from the perek that we read, in the Bet Abel, they leave for others all their wealth. He left a little thing over. The Rish Lakish felt, if I have more than I need to live today, it's extra. I don't need it. And if at the end of my life I left over this one basket, I wasted too much time acquiring. Too much precious time getting all Amazir. In fact, I saw a remez that fits this perfectly. The remez is in the very beginning. Yaakov Avinu tells over to Esav a message. Vayilishor v'hamor son v'ele v'shevcha. Of course, you know what he said. What did he tell him? I'm afraid of you. You know, what did he do? He hid Rachel behind people. Because he didn't want the evil eye of Esav, to go on his children. So he put different people in front. He put animals in front so the Ain wouldn't go. And he put Yosef stood in front of Rachel. Because the Ain doesn't affect Yosef and Rachel was behind. This was all a plan. But I heard several times that the Pasuk says, Vahili, Shor, Vahamor, Son, Vahebe, Vishifat, Tra. He gave him back. He named Fi'en Ladu. He gave him the five back. But I saw the Rasha on our point. Vahili, Shor, Vahamor, Son, what is he telling him? The Gemara Megillah Tafyud says, Vahi is Lashon Sa'ar. And then, of course, it comes, it shows you certain places it's Sa'ar, certain places it's not, then it says, Vahi bimeh. The Maskana Vahi bimeh is Sa'ar. Vahi bimeh Shifot HaShofetim, ויהי רעה בארץ. ויהי בימי אחשוורוש, המן. ויהי בימי שבועות השופטים, every time you have ויהי בימי, you see trouble. אין לשון ויהי לשון צער. It's trouble. It's bad. ויהי לי שור וחמור שונאי בשבחה. עשיו, you see my wealth. You think this is good. Oy li vayhi. Woe is to me on the time I had to spend to earn this money. The precious time I could have been working on my own shilemut. The precious time I could have worked on myself, bechira, learning Torah. Vayhi. Woe is to me. We have to understand that as people, we were given a life. And that life is full of moments. And those moments are an opportunity to earn. And we as people have to spend our time knowing there are necessities. Knowing there are things we might have to do for the Gashmiut. But not to overdo it. Not to wrap ourselves up in a situation that requires more of our time than it's worth. Sadikim no. Chavivim em mamonam yoter migufam, because it cost them that time of their life. And it becomes chaviv to them, so they won't have to waste it. Keep loose on weddings, keep loose on parties, on vacations, on fancy cars. Wasting the money that we earn so hard to keep up with the Joneses and the Levies and the Barbushes. We want to keep up. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. With the beautiful gift that Hashem gives you, beracha. Take what He gives you. Don't overwork yourself. You want lechem, lechol. You want food to eat. You want beggar, little boy. Who cares what designer? This is what life is about. We have to reach a status of yesh li kol. We need the beracha. Bakol, mikol, kol. Bakol is the first beracha, Abraham. Mikol is the second, is Yitzchak. Kol is Yaakov. Kol is the ultimate beracha. When you feel you have everything you need. That's the difference between us and Esav. And only a Yetzara that's active, only a Yetzara that's alive, can change your approach to things where you think you need more. You don't need anything that you don't have. Dorshe Hashem, Lo yachzeru chol tov. Yehi ratzon, we learn the lessons of the parasha. And we learn how to continue our lives in that derech of Yaakov. That knew how to put everything into perspective. And this will bring us to a life of shilemut, which will help us bring Mashiach sivkenu b'miyah b'menu. Amen.